We're studying the life of David, and we are just looking at different aspects of his life. And last week we started looking at leadership lessons from David, different things that we can learn from David about how to be a good and godly leader. And when we were together last, we looked at several things that I want to just review for us, and then we'll jump into a couple other things, and hopefully we can finish leadership up tonight. But we looked at how David stood for the Lord. Remember David and Goliath, that whole story is an incredible example of someone standing up for the Lord. And as I was contemplating this study again, knowing I was teaching it again, preaching it again tonight, I was just reminded of that we understand that as a leader, a leadership lesson, you need to be able to understand and see how this lesson influences people. If we're going to talk about leadership, and if you are a leader in some sphere, you're a leader over people, you're influencing people by the things that you do, the words that you say. How was David a leader in standing up for the Lord there in that whole episode with David and Goliath? Well, others were watching. There were great armies that stood on either side of that valley. And the army of Israel saw a young man with courage they did not have, who stood up for the Lord. And what did that communicate? It communicated that the Lord is worth it. The Lord is mighty and great. And I dare say, we don't have any record of this, but I dare say that in the minds and hearts of some of these other people and soldiers that might have been watching, their faith was encouraged and strengthened as they watched David stand up for the Lord. They were encouraged to follow suit. And I believe it had a lot to do with David's success after that. People liked him. They wanted to be on his team, in his brigade, because they saw him stand up for the Lord. We looked at how David sought wisdom from the Lord in several places in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You see David inquire of the Lord. A decision had to be made, and he inquired of the Lord. Well, what is that? How is that leadership? Well, folks, listen. If you, in your sphere of influence, if you are known as someone who seeks the Lord, someone who when there is something that has to be done, you pray about this. You seek God's face and asking God for wisdom and direction on how to accomplish this. That's leadership. For people are watching you. And what are they seeing? They are seeing that you are small and God is big. And that's where we all need to be. And we need to lead our families. We need to lead those in our workplaces. We need to lead those in our church with that to that kind of heart attitude, an attitude of humility, an attitude of understanding that the Lord has the wisdom, I do not, and so I seek Him for wisdom, and so should you. We looked at how David submitted to the Lord's ways. We talked about that moment in the cave, remember, where Saul was there, And David and all of his men were back in the recesses of the cave, and David sneaks up and he cuts off a corner of his robe. You ever think about how is he so quiet? How were they able to have this conversation in the back of the cave and Saul not hear him? I don't have the answer to that, but isn't it interesting to note? But what happened in that cave was David's men were encouraging him to kill Saul, to destroy God's anointed. But David trusted in the Lord and His ways. He was in submission to Him. He saw the way God was doing things as a way that he wanted to follow. And yes, it meant many more years of hardship. David was on the run for some 10, 12 years. But you know what? He was able to live without the guilt of the blood guilt of having killed a king of Israel. Well, David submitted to the Lord's ways. Well, how is that leadership? How can you and I, if we are submitting to the Lord's ways, how can we influence people and lead? And we talked about it a little bit, but think about those men. When they saw David not lay a hand on Saul, this happened several times. What does that do to the heart of these men? It helps them understand that in the heart of David, in the heart of their leader, God's ways are the most important. The one on the throne whom God anointed needed to be honored, even though it was, or he was, their enemy. So as you and I, as people who are following us, as they see us submit to God's ways, that is, trust in God and trust in what He's doing. And you understand now that when you say trust in what God's doing, you don't always see it clearly. But that's the kind of person that I want to follow, as someone that has their moral their compass faced towards God, and that's the direction they're heading. And they may not have all the answers, and they may not see clearly or describe to you the exact detailed plan. But they're trusting God. They've got that track record. And that was David. That was David. His men, watching his example, were encouraged to trust in the Lord. Next lesson. So we looked at standing for the Lord, seeking wisdom from the Lord, submitting to the Lord's ways, and fourthly, strengthening oneself in the Lord. A godly leader will be a man or woman or a child who strengthens themselves in the Lord. You know, people in our day and age, people in leadership, there are many different ways that they seek to strengthen themselves. You go into corporate America, there's jockeying for different positions. You may have deception. You may have gossip and rumors. You may have all kinds of different things that people are trying to do to accomplish a certain goal or a certain position. And in David's life, you see him finding great strength in the Lord. Not even so much in his sword. It's in the Lord. I mean, David is known as the warrior king. And he fought many, many battles. He was known for being an incredible warrior, being even greater than King Saul. But if you take time to read what David wrote and read through the Psalms that have this little heading, a Psalm of David ahead of it, you know what? We don't know for sure if he wrote all of them, but chances are he did. And if he really did, you look at that and you gain insight into the life and relationship of a man who knew God, who sought God when he was weak. An example of this is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and this is so poignant. This is a time of great fear and great grief in David's life. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're talking about leadership tonight. We're talking about influencing people. And here we see an example of David strengthening himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men are returning back from a battle where they were going to help the Philistines fight against King Saul, but the Philistines got cold feet, thinking David would turn on them in the midst of the battle. And so they sent David home. Now, home was a place called Ziklag that had been given to David by the Philistines. And in Ziklag, that is where David and all of his men lived. That's where their wives, their children, their families resided. Well, chapter 30, verse 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now here's David. He's a leader. And he has 600 men behind him. And they are coming home. Home! And they come home. And it's burned. It's destroyed. And not only is their homes burned, their city destroyed, but their families are gone. Gone. Verse 2, and the Amalekites had taken the women captives and were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So no one was killed, they were just taken, kidnapped. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. That is an expression here that describes how maybe you have felt at some point in your life. A point of bottom. Rock bottom, total grief, just cannot see the light of day. To weep until there is no more power to weep. This was David. In verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. All right, so not only has David lost his two wives and all of his children, all of his men have lost their families, their homes have been burned. But now these men are upset with him and they're talking about stoning him. So talk about adding worry upon worry, fear upon fear, and it's all falling here upon David. Why? Because David is the leader. And if you get a little glimpse here of the loneliness that is in leadership. And I tell you, that's something that we had a deacon's retreat in January, and I shared this with the deacons. That sometimes leadership is very lonely. And you see that here, because here David, he's just leading his men back home. And everything's gone. They're all gone. And these men now turning on him. Let's stone David. But what I didn't read is what's so very, very important here. Is look at the end of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What does that mean? Does that mean that David got everything back? No. Does that mean that David wasn't grieving anymore? No. Does it mean that David was out of danger of being stoned? No. What it describes the heart of a man of God, a leader. When he's reached the depths and when he reaches the bottom, what does he do? How does he respond? Where does he go? He turns to the Lord. He turns to the Lord. He strengthens himself in the Lord his God. Where else could we go? Where else would you go? Christian, 21st century, and life is beating you down, and fear upon fear is loaded up, burden upon burden, worry upon worry. You feel like you can't take anymore. Here's the message. Encourage yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, so much could be said on that. But suffice it to say this. If we, in the church age, in this age today, if we are to be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord, this is going to require a steady diet of His Word. For that is God's revelation to you and to me today. It is going to require a steady fellowship with God's people. For that is God's provision. That is a place that we can find some equilibrium. That is a place where we can find some comfort and solace and strength from our brothers and sisters in Christ. What is so sad is that so often what we find is people do the exact opposite when they find themselves in times of distress and reaching the bottom. They clam up, they hide, and they give up on God. And I'm telling you tonight, the answer is not found there. That is a hole that gets deeper. Understand, the depths of despair, in the depths of despair, is the time that you must turn to the Lord and find strength in Him. You could spend a lot of time looking through the Psalms and seeing how David accomplishes this. A couple of Psalms to make note of. Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, is God for you, Christian? Is He? And if God is for us, who can stand against us? Who can be against us? Godly leader will strengthen himself or herself in the Lord. How is that leadership? Others are going to watch you grow in strength. They will watch and they will see it, and it will be an opportunity for you to not say, look at me, but look at my God. This is one of the reasons why we need to be talking and sharing our stories. We need to understand that some other people in our midst have had some hard times. Well, they don't look like it. They look fine today. Well, great. Why? Because they have found strength where? In the Lord. This is why testimonies are so good. It's not the Word of God, yes, but it's a testimony of God's Word. The testimony of God's work. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Others will see that and be encouraged to also grow and strengthen themselves in the Lord. Got excited about that one for a while. A couple others. Let's talk about how a godly leader speaks of the Lord's involvement. A godly leader makes mention of God and God's involvement in the things that are done. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, same chapter actually where we've been, and I want you to notice in verse 23. Now, a lot has taken place here between verse 6 and verse 23. I'll fill in the gap briefly. David inquires of the Lord, okay, and he seeks after the Lord, should I pursue? God says, yes, pursue. David pursues. They find find the Amalekites. I'm skipping over some details. They find the Amalekites, and they're having a party. David and his men go in. They smite every male in the Amalekites except for 400 that get away on camels. Interesting little detail. Camels are good getaway vehicles. So 400 get away. They get all of their wives, their children, everything back. I mean, this is a great story, a great ending, right? I mean, this is the kind of thing that you dream of in the times of your distresses and my distresses. If everything could be restored like this, it'd be incredible. It doesn't always happen that way. But so they're coming back with this great victory. But one thing that's interesting that I didn't say is that 600 left to go, but only 200 made it partway. Or I'm sorry, only 400 made it all the way to battle against the Amalekites. 200 were weary, and they stayed back with the luggage. So after this great victory, David and his 400 men who come back, some of the 400, are very proud of their accomplishments. And they come back and they say, you 200 that didn't go to battle, you may not have any of the spoil. The spoil meaning any of the things that we took from the Amalekites. All you get is your family and your wife, your family back, because you didn't go with us. You know what the Bible calls those men? Sons of Belial. Sons of Belial, verse 22. Wicked men. David has some words for them. A godly leader is going to stand up for the Lord here, and he's going to speak of the Lord's involvement. Now, he's going to what David does here is he brings the burden and the weight of God into the conversation. Now, when I say burden or weight, when you are a God-fearer, someone that fears God and follows after God, but you are doing something and you've forgotten about God, God has faded into the background, it is always good and profitable to have someone speak God back into your life again. In other words, say, listen, remember that God is doing these things. Because we can get so lost in the fog of ourselves that we neglect or forget God. Now, what does David do here? Verse 23, then said David, you shall not do so, my brother. So he's responding to these wicked men. You shall not do so, my brother, and with that which the Lord hath given us. Oh, it's the Lord that has given us. It was the Lord who hath preserved us. And it was the Lord who delivered the company that came against us into our hand. Verse 23. Now, what does that do to this group of wicked men? When their leader has the courage to stand up against them and say, listen, don't forget, this is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's victory. Verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. I mean, this was an ordinance established. If you stayed back with the luggage, you had equal right to the spoil. But what's the turning point in all of this? It is when a godly man stands up and says, let's talk about what the Lord has done. Let's talk about what God is doing in our midst. Let's put people off to the side. He directed everyone's attention off of themselves and upon what the Lord has done. He removed the sin-stricken that they might see the Savior, and then they could solve the problem. The problem was solved once they were able to see who the true deliverer was. That's what happens, isn't it? We get our eyes off the Lord and on ourselves. Then we get conflict. The godly leader is going to speak of the Lord's involvement. A godly leader spends time communing with God. Spends time communing with God. We see this as David's example of this in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now here in this text is where the covenant is given to David, communicated through the prophet Nathan. And after Nathan communicates the covenant with David, and we're going to spend a whole evening talking about the Davidic covenant in the future here, but suffice it to say that God gives this promise that there will always be someone on the throne of David. And that's very simplified explanation, but that is the basic gist of it, and we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But in verse 18, after David hears this covenant that the Lord is making with him, what is David's response to that? Notice in verse 18, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. He sat before the Lord. How is this an example of leadership? How is this influencing people? I mean, this is something that David is doing, and very likely he may be even doing it alone. We don't know that for sure, but maybe no one saw this. How is this influencing people? Well, if for nothing else, it's recorded in the Word of God, and I tell you what, it's influencing me. And it should be influencing you. You read through the Psalms, you see a man who is communing with the Lord. A man who has a relationship with God, with Jehovah. They talk. They know one another. They spend time together. I mean, these Psalms that he wrote, you read that they are, it's recording a conversation that he's had with God or is having with God. And here in this passage is yet one of those conversations where he says in middle verse 18, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can David say more unto you? For thou, Lord God, knowest your servant. We could go on and read, but suffice this to say that David spent time before the Lord. You know someone like that? You know someone in your life that, you know, they spend time before the Lord? And you know what? They might not get up and tell you, I spend time before the Lord. But there are marks upon a man or a woman who knows God. How do you get to know God? You spend time with Him. You know a man or a woman who knows God, you know a man or a woman who's spending time with God. A godly leader will spend time with the Lord, will interact with the Lord. They will not just read the Word of God just for knowledge's sake. They will read the Word of God to know God and to be known by Him. There's an openness. There's a vulnerability. There's a solid relationship. Finally, and this is not all the lessons we could learn from David, but this is where we're going to close our time tonight. A godly leader will show integrity. in keeping commitments. This is perhaps a tender story from the life of David, revolving around Mephibosheth. And I encourage you to turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And this chapter is recorded how David brings Mephibosheth. Say that 10 times fast. Mephibosheth. This was one of Jonathan's remaining sons, and not much of Saul's family yet remained. But what happens here is in verse 1, 2 Samuel 9, 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So what is going on in his mind? His mind is going back in the recesses of his memory, and he remembers Jonathan, his dear, dear friend. And he remembers a commitment he made to him. That commitment you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 20. I want you to listen to what he said to Jonathan. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14, we'll start there. "And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not." This is Jonathan speaking to David. "But also," verse 15, "thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." Verse 16, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." This commitment was not only made to Jonathan, but it was also made to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 24, in verse 21. This is Saul speaking to David, and Saul says to David, "Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up unto the hold. You see, there's some commitments given there. And this is an important thing, that we see David here, it's recorded in the Word of God that he kept his commitment. I know that we don't have everything recorded about David's life. But for some reason, God wanted this chapter about Mephibosheth in here. Why? Well, I think one reason is to show us the integrity of David, and to show us that he did remember, and he took care of Mephibosheth, who he invited into his home. He ate at the king's table, and David took care of him. He was under David's protection. Godly leader will show integrity in keeping commitments. You know what? We all know if the people that we're following, if they're keeping their commitments or not. We see that right off. People that follow you, they know if you're true and genuine. If you're all the way through and through. Our children, they see through us. They know. They remember everything we say. "But Daddy, you said this." A godly leader will keep his commitments. Be a man of integrity. Be a woman of integrity. And so, what are the lessons? Just by review. A godly leader stands up for the Lord. A godly leader seeks wisdom from the Lord. Submits to the Lord's ways. Strengthens oneself in the Lord. Speaks of the Lord's involvement. Spends time communing with the Lord. And shows integrity in keeping commitments. Lord, I thank you for these lessons that we could learn tonight from your servant David, a man after your own heart, you said. And I thank you, Lord, for just challenging our hearts in several areas of leadership. And I ask that you would encourage and strengthen your people tonight, all of us, that we would go forth with boldness and leading in a godly manner in our spheres of influence. I pray that our children will grasp this, the gravity, the truth that we talked about tonight, about influencing people. I pray that our children would lead by their right choices. And I pray that the teaching, the preaching tonight might help them to know what some of those choices are. In Jesus' name, amen.